brought to you by the Bayou City. My name is Jesus Acevedo Jr., and with me on this cosmic and astrological journey is the one and only, you can't clone him, the Zodiac GM.
Hey, what's going on? What's up? What's up?
What's up, Zodiac GM? We are back for our, I believe it's our 14th episode, if I'm not mistaken. I have lost count, and we don't even have that many episodes for me to lose count. So that tells you how my Monday has been going. It's actually been a pretty good Monday, but how was your week in Zodiac?
It's been good. It's been good. How about yours, man?
Good, good. I you know, can't complain. Just chugging along there on this thing we call life, you know. But before we get into our topics, faithful listeners, you know, we like to educate our audience, right? That's what we said, Zodiac. And, you know, I've been thinking as we're going to run out of horoscope signs, we're going to have to kind of, you know, switch. I've been thinking, what's the next thing we're going to educate people on horoscopes and that's astrology and all that. But today's topic is Scorpios. So like Scorpios now.
Ooh, Scorpios.
The one thing I've always known about Scorpios, and I don't know if you know there's no how to or the best way to say it, or I don't even know. You know, you may even laugh when I say this, but it may be true somehow. The Scorpios are the freakiest sign of the horoscope. Is that true, Zodiac?
It's dubbed as that. They're sort of like the sex symbol of the Zodiac, right?
The sex symbol of the Zodiac. Okay, I did not know that.
That's sort of like one of their thing, but they're very cool-minded individual or people. You know, it's a cool-minded sign. Fixed sign, they're very... you know, they see things in black and white. What I mean by that is they either like something or they don't. There's no in between. Mm. There's no BS in with them, you know.
There is no gray area, right? It's black
or
white. That's it.
Yeah, and you'll know it. Yeah, you know it, you know, and they'll give you that energy right off the bat, you know. So, but the good thing is once you're on their good side, you know, that's it. They're gonna really like you, you know, and if you fall on their bad side, well, good luck, you know. So, and there's no in between with them. That's just sort of kind of like their nature with them. It is a fixed sign, water, very passionate. They're very loyal too, very extremely jealous when it comes, you know, maybe in a relationship, but you know, it comes with boundaries and all that. It could be a little bit possessive, controlling, but you know, the thing with this sign in particular is they're all about power. They love power and in control. When they have something like that, in you know, that's part of what they have, that's when you get the best version of them, because they have full control and they have all that energy to kind of let out and provide for others to succeed, you know. So yeah, that's sort of what you're getting out of the Scorpio.
And what are some Scorpio players that fit them, right? Because it's Scorpio. What are some NBA players?
Okay. Let's start off with Paolo Banchero. Paolo Banchero is Scorpio. Yeah, Devin Booker, Jaylen Brown, Russell Westbrook, Carl Anthony Towns. You have Jalen Duren. Tyrese Maxey is also a Scorpio. Zach Collins, Bol Bol from the Phoenix Suns. Jay Sean Tate from the Houston Rockets, Evan Fournier. So yeah, those are a few of the Scorpios. Coaches, you mean, you have Eric Spoelstra as a Scorpio.
Interesting.
I can't think of the other guy's name from the Indiana Pacers.
Rick Carlisle
is also a Scorpio. That's the reason why he has a good connection with Tyree Halliburton, because Halliburton's a Pisces, that water-to-water connection.
Water-water side, so, yeah.
Yeah,
that's interesting. I didn't know Paolo Banchero was one. You know, is that, and, you know, we saw the water sign out of him come out in a recent interview, right? Whenever he got emotional, which look, I love that he got emotional. You know, he wants to win that freaking bad. I loved it, and I even think that you tweeted about it that came from his signs, right? He has that emotion because he's that water sign.
Exactly. He needs a double water. So he has the moon of Pisces. So we have a water sun with Scorpio, Pisces moon. So that spells emotional, very emotional, you know, and you get to see it whenever he did that interview. You know, and that's a good thing, because that shows that he's devoted to the game and that he's very passionate of the game, and he's willing to do everything that he can to make things, you know, to make things happen for his team. So that's kind of what you're getting out of that emotional water sign, especially, you know, combination such as what Paolo Banchero has.
Which is funny. I know something we haven't got into it, and we're going to steer just a little bit off where our next topic was, but we have so many water signs that are just running the NBA right now. And, yeah. But I mean by running, I don't mean they're the top of the top. They're up the top. But I mean, yes, you used to have your Bronze, you used to have your you know, Kevin Durant, your Curry, but there's a lot of water signs, you know, even among them, right? Like, I mean, just name me the like top player water signs right now that are just running the NBA.
Oh my God, Pisces alone. Let me just stick with Pisces for a few seconds. They got so much talent. It's unbelievable. I mean, they're literally running the NBA talent-wise. You have Jokic, Curry, Doncic, Embiid, Tatum. I mean, that's a lot of talent for the Pisces squad. And you also have the Scorpios of the players I just mentioned. You also have the Cancers, you know, Zion Williamson. You know, so a lot of the water sign energies are very, very strong and dominant as far as for the talent that goes right now in the NBA. You know, Kawhi Leonard, Cancer, water sign, Bradley Beal, Damian Lillard, Rudy Gobert. I mean, it's just remarkable how much talent they have.
It's funny. And maybe, you know, once we get to like the offseason, maybe we do one of those cool episodes and we could break down the NBA decades and see what sign was running the NBA at that time, you know. But there's one Cancer,
right,
one water sign that I want to talk about, Zodiac. And I want to talk about him because he is probably second right now in the MVP race. His name is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander of the Oklahoma City Thunder. We're talking about the Oklahoma City Thunder in as our first topic because, look, I told you before the season started, watch out for this team. I said
right.
This team
called it.
Has it. I called it, but now here's the thing. I did not call this. They are better than my expectations. I thought they were going to be 4, 5, 6 seed. They are competing for the number one seed in the Western Conference. That is tough conference. And look, they're a young team. That's what's even scarier, too. It's how young they are still. Like, so just to throw some numbers, you know. From last season, OKC has seen the league's second biggest improvement regarding points scored per 100 possession, which is plus 5.4, and its fourth biggest improvement regarding points allowed per 100 possessions, minus 1.8. That's from NBA.com. So that shows to me this team has grown, right? It has. And then obviously having Chet Holmgren, you know, back there blocking shots, and, you know, that helps the defense. And speaking of Chet Holmgren, the first rookie in NBA history to reach 150-plus blocks and 100-plus three-pointers made ever. First ever rookie. That is something tremendous.
That's impressive.
It's impressive. Look, they've won 5 in a row, 4th-ranked defense, and as I mentioned, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has to be among the top 3 in the MVP discussion. And here's what I like about him. He plays defense. He's not just one of those, hey, I'm just going to score and, you know, give you buckets. No, I'm going to stop you. I'm going to play good team defense, you know? So I know we've spoken about OKC Thunder, you know, but what is it? What is their synergy? Remind us really quick.
So I think there's a few key points that I want to point out with this team is that SGA, he's a Cancer water sign, right? So one thing I like to analyze when I'm analyzing a roster is who their point guard is in relation to who their coach is. So their coach is, he's a Pisces. So Dagnalt, he's a Pisces, and then when you have a Pisces Cancer mix, that meshes very well. So right off the bat, that's a good start. Not only that, the influence of what SGA brings to the team, he's our best player, so he brings a lot of the offense, and he's sort of like their key guy, you know. So he's featured heavily, right? But the main thing that really completes this roster and actually enhances their overall synergy is actually Chet Holmgren. Okay, and I'll explain why. Yeah, he is a Taurus, and that's that energy alone completes SGA's energy, him being a Cancer, right? And not only that, it also kind of works vice versa. It also helps Chet Holmgren's overall development within the team because it makes him feel comfortable. That's another key thing. Whenever you have sort of like your best friends, your homies, you know, and you just build this relationship once you go onto a team, You're not as shy as timid, and you tend to be a little bit more comfortable when you're playing on the court. And that's the relationship that he has with SGA and also Jalen Williams, the center slash power forward. Even though he doesn't get a lot of minutes, but just his energy alone, him in the locker room, just hanging out, it makes him bring that comfort level to be the best that he can on the court. It really does matter. I mean, you know, a lot of these players are not robots, but energies that feed off of their teammates is a big deal. So right off the bat, that's two huge pluses for this team, because these two guys I just mentioned, they're sort of like the premier guys. I mean, Chet Holmgren is holding down the defense, and SGA is holding down both ends, really, you know, even Chet Holmgren too, in connection with their head coach. So overall, that's a very, very strong synergy. And plus, they're young and talented. They have a lot of pieces that's going for them right now. And also, the synergy is actually really, really good as well.
What is it, like a 4-1 or a 3-2?
Well, they utilize what I call a 3-2 lineup, but an advantage of what these is whenever the coach, they effectively use some of these lineups to their advantage, right? So again, it's how heavily influenced the players that their go-to is, and that's SGA and Chet Holmgren. And they have three Cardinals in the starting lineup, right, that are compatible with amongst themselves. You have Dort, who's an Aries, Jalen Williams, a small forward slash guard, he's an Aries as well, and Josh Giddey. So he's a Libra. So they're all cardinal signs. What cardinal means is that they bring that energy. They're sort of the initiators, so the movers, and that works very, very well, because if you look at it as a whole, the starting unit actually has four cardinals and one fixed sign being Chet Holmgren. And then fixed and cardinal energy works very, very well together. And when you have that, the way their featured players are running the team along with those cardinal energies, it just has a right mix to it. A lot of times whenever teams have this type of setup, it's either one is off, meaning that their featured player could be a cardinal sign of opposite energy from the head coach or something along those lines. But in this case, it's aligned to their favor because you have SGA's compatible to their head coach and Chet Holmgren's, their top two players, also compatible with the head coach. So that alone is a strong synergy. But again, if their star player was of the opposite energy, then a little bit of a conflict.
Mm. Look, Oklahoma City, 40-17. Look, you know, the Nuggets are 39-19. The Clippers are 37-19. So, I mean, OKC could still, you know, drop a couple. It'd be the 3 or 4 seed. But I think for sure they're going to be a top 6 seed. I'm going to say they're going to end up at the 3rd and 4th seed. I have a feeling either the Clippers or the Nuggets are going to overtake them for the number 2 seed. But I think the Thunder are there. I think they have some playoff experience, too, to where they can make some noise. And
yeah,
you know, once you get to the playoffs, anything could happen, you know, and
you're right.
So we'll see where OKC, but like I said, they have a bright future. They have a bright future.
They do have a bright future. I think the only thing is they just a little bit more experience, you know, for now, but you just mentioned that. So I think that's the only thing that they're lacking, I feel like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And look, they're going to get some more of that playoff experience, but I think whatever playoff experience they get this season, it's just going to help them even more, obviously, next season, you know. But a well-battled and playoff-tested team, the Golden State Warriors, they just extended Steve Kerr's contract. And the reason I want to talk about the Golden State Warriors, you know, they kind of ran the NBA, right, for, six years there. You know, obviously, they had Kevin Durant, so that helped. But look, they extended Steve Kerr through the 2025-26 season, $35 million extension, which is pretty nice for him, I'm sure. Here's what's interesting, though, right? After that 2025-26 season, Curry is an unrestricted free agent. So it's almost as if they tied Kerr's extension to Steph Curry's last season.
Yeah.
And why would it?
That team.
That's kind of where I was going. Is like that could be the end of that era of Golden State Warrior basketball. And look, great, you know, no matter if they don't win another title from here to that contract ends. Look, he recently won his 500 game with the Golden State Warriors and four championships. I mean, any franchise will take four championships, you know. So no matter what they make, what if they ever get back to the final, win another title from here to that contract, I think that's already been a successful franchise, you know. I mean, you know, they've actually put how much the franchise was worth before Steph Curry and after Curry, you know, and Curry has a lot to do with that as well. Now, I know Curry is an Aries, you know, so how does that Aries that he has?
Curry's a Pisces.
Pisces, Curry,
right?
No, yeah. Kerr.
Oh, Steve Kerr is a Libra. Libra.
Cardinal, Libra. I don't know what I was thinking. Okay. I apologize. See, faithful listeners, I'm not the one you come to for astrology. I'm just a guy that just talks BS. So their GM is a guy that knows them. But yeah, so tell us, you know, Steve Kerr's Libras, And it's funny, that makes sense now. He's always been able to balance everything, right? That's what Libras do. So tell us about Steve Kerr's Libra and how he's been able to work with this franchise.
Well, one thing you got to admire about Steve Kerr is that he is a cardinal sign, right? What does that mean? A cardinal sign of Libra. So Libra, it's all about ideas, right? So they initiate ideas and they're good at it, right? So, and then they implement that idea into fruition, right? What do I mean by that? Back then, remember when he first started coaching, there was a transitional lineup change that he did that made a big difference. One was David Lee, for example, shifting to the bench. And the other one was Iguodala shifting to the bench. And he made these major moves that kind of was like idealistic to kind of make the team flow. It was like an initiation to an idea that he wanted to implement, and he made it happen, right? And that's a good thing because it changed, right? The dynamics of this team changed for the better in most cases. But the thing about him, he keeps doing it until something works. And that's a big plus because fixed signs in general don't have that capacity, even though they do eventually do something like that. But it's more natural for Steve Kerr to do something like that, make changes that affects the dynamic of the whole overall roster. And as of late, look who's another change he made with Klay Thompson moving to the bench. Right. Klay Thompson, he implemented Podziemski to the starting role. And it's been working very, very well. That lineup alone is what I call the 4-1 lineup, where they have four compatible to one. And that four compatible so happen to all be Pisces, right? And Pisces work very, very well together. You have Draymond Green, Pisces, Andrew Wiggins, Pisces, Podziemski's Pisces, and of course, Steph Curry. And then the fifth one out, the fifth one is Kuminga being a Libra. So that lineup alone is a strong, strong synergy with Klay Thompson coming off the bench. So you got to admire that. You got to respect that because what Steve Kerr has done, he's initiated some of these dynamic moves for the better of this team, basically searching for the right rotation. And he's discovered that there's a lot of teams out there that struggle to do what he's doing. And that's a big, big plus for Steve Kerr.
How do he's worked under two different general managers, right, during this run. Previously, it was Bob Myers, who was a March 31st, so Aries, right? So Libra worked really well together, right? Four titles. And now currently he's working with Mike Dunleavy Jr. Mike Dunleavy Jr., September 15th, Virgo. So again, another good working relationship there between coach and GM, because that also goes a long part to how successful team will be, is that close relationship between the coach and the GM. And Steve Kerr has had two good relationships with both of his GMs.
You're right. So overall, I mean, what they brought the GM is a very important relationship because it kind of puts them on the same page, but different styles, right? So that's kind of how they go, and that kind of builds on their overall personality, amongst the team. But so far, they're doing a good job. They're hanging in there. They're not as elite as they once were before, but they're still on the positive end of competing for a championship run.
I mean, they're going, like I said, I started with this topic, they're playoff testers. Mm-hmm. So they're the kind of team where, hey, yep, let's just get into the playoffs, right? And we'll take it from there. Funny enough, the last team that the Golden State Warriors saw in the NBA Finals was the Boston Celtics. And that's where we're going for our next topic. The Boston Celtics are clear and above right now, record-wise at least. They're the best team in the whole NBA. They have a 45-12 record. And look, we know about their star players, Jason Tatum and, Jason Brown. But look, the new additions that they have, that they implemented, that they traded for, have given this team a new wrinkle. And, it's been spotty, right? In the beginning of the season, it was very spotty. It was like, oh, they won four in a row. Oh, they lost two. Oh, they lost three in a row. So it was spotty. But I think now they're finally starting to put it together. They won eight in a row. And there are some that want Jason Tatum to be in the MVP discussion. And I can understand why, because they have the best record, right? So can you remind us about Boston and how they're astrologically sinking?
So the thing that stands out to me right off the bat, and then this is a good thing, is that their talent has improved from last year. I mean, you're bringing in Porzingis, you're bringing in Holiday. I mean, with an already existing Jason Tatum, Brown, Derek White. I mean, the talent is what really stands out to me, along with the synergy of the head coach and the I don't want to say big three because they're part of the big five, really. But Tatum is a Pisces. Jaylen Brown is a Scorpio, and Derek White is a Cancer. Derek White is a big piece for this roster. I mean, I don't know if you remember when Udoka was coaching, they were struggling throughout the midseason. Yeah. And then it wasn't until they got Derek White that sort of connected the whole synergy of this team.
Started clicking.
Exactly. His energy is what made everything click for this team. Okay. And that's what actually, ironically, they were missing, that cardinal energy, right? So he completes that trifecta, that I like to call, with Jaylen Brown, with Jason Tatum, and along with the head coach that sees the same energy, the same views as them through the them three. So that's a strong connection, head coach and those three I mentioned. Now, with Porzingis, an issue when he got traded, I didn't really like the synergy overall. I thought it was going to be a downfall, but what really helped him out was the acquisition of Holiday, okay? Because I felt that Porzingis being there, I felt like he was sort of going to be like by himself, his energy-wise, right? But
what's
with
the sign?
Holiday, he's a Leo. So you're mixing a fire sign with a whole bunch of water. It's sort of like a, you know, it's sort of conflicting in a way if they don't understand their energies. But if they do, but and they learn, it takes longer. In. But once Holiday comes in, that helps out Porzingis a lot.
Gemini, right?
Gemini? Yeah, Gemini-Leo connection is a really, really strong connection.
Forget about it. Yep.
And that's all you really, really need, because Holiday plays a big, big factor in the starting unit, starting point guard, and that helps out Porzingis as well. And that helps him feel a little bit more comfortable with the rest of the squad. And that's not a lot of people see how energies work. It's odd how it works, but it just does, you know, some way, somehow it's like, there's a lot of psychological effects to it as well. And that duo connection amongst them, just those two, is a strong connection in combination with the three plus the head coach I mentioned earlier. So they do utilize a 3-2 lineup. Their overall synergy is not elite, but it's good enough, mainly because their talent is elite. You know, they have an A+ talent. Yeah. I mean, come on. You know, they do have a very, very strong talent there.
Yeah, I think this is one of those teams where, you know, the synergy is there, but it's not the best. But what puts them over the edge is the talent, you know. And I think I know you said 3-2, but I think those three are so strong, and those two are so strong, with the two being, you know, Holiday and Porzingis. They're so strong, their connection. And then those three, their connection, you know, so I think it's a strong 3-2, you know. And
it's a well-balanced, because you have a point guard that's a mutable sign. That's also a key thing.
Yes.
He's able to adapt. So I think it might have been different if it was vice versa, being a Leo point guard rather than a Gemini point guard, because a Gemini has the capacity to adapt and be more flexible to extend out to the rest of the unit.
And then, you know, Joe Mazzulla, he's a Cancer, and Gemini Cancer, you know, it's a pair that can work, right? But as far as that point guard coach connection, you know, but no, I think they did a great job putting this team together. And I think this team is going to cause issues for the Eastern Conference. You know, I think right off the bat, I can see maybe them making it automatic all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals, and that being their first true test, you know. But who knows, right? Playoffs are, anything can happen in the playoffs. You know, that could be wrong, you know.
And also, who's their GM?
Their GM is
Brad Stevens.
It's Brad Stevens.
Okay.
It's Brad Stevens. And Brad Stevens,
I wanted to bring him up because he's also a Libra. Back to what we were just talking about, Steve Kerr. And have you noticed the way the Boston rosters have been sort of changing over the years? I mean, he sticks to the core, right? But he always finds a way to implement, like you're talking about, from Kyrie Irving to Kemba Walker. Like, he's always trying to find ways to make this team better, right? And he actually makes it happen, which is such a cardinal trait. When they have an idea, they actually do it, right? But that's kind of a strong thing, and that's a good thing for a GM to have, because they're always trying to find ways to make him better, and he's also keeping the core strong as well.
Definitely. And like I said, they're going to be among the contenders right now. You know, they're the best team right now, and I don't see a team. There's about five loss in the loss column for the next second best team in the NBA. So the Boston Celtics is a team to watch out for. One team that perhaps would be to watch for right now, but not so much because of their players. Well, because one is out, Trae Young, actually, with the Atlanta Hawks. Trae Young is out for 4 weeks, Zodiac, with the left hand injury. 3-3 without Young are the Atlanta Hawks. 3-3 without Trae Young. Look, and he's been very durable. You know, he's only missed an average of 6.8 games. So say seven. We're going to round up to seven games. He's missed seven games over his first five seasons each season, right? So it's not he doesn't miss a lot. He plays. He wants to play. He's a baller. He's a hooper. Now, here's what's an interesting stat that I saw. Shout out NBA.com. This is the first season since Trae Young's injury that the team has been better with him off the floor, minus 2.1 points per 100 possessions, than with him on it, minus 2.6 per 100 possessions. So I found that kind of interesting. Granted, it's very granular, right? It's like 0.5, you know?
Yeah.
But still, they're a bit better with him off the floor. And I wonder, with Trae Young out, how are the Hawks' astrology sync? Do they even mesh well, or are they really going to miss Trae Young?
Well, synergy-wise, it takes a bump up. Talent-wise, it takes a bump down, because Trae Young is Trae Young, right?
He's Trae
one
Young.
Of the most talented guards in the whole NBA, right? But the way this roster is constructed, they're sort of heavy on energy's opposite of their two main guys, which is Murray and Trae Young, right? So if you look at their starting lineup alone, when Trae Young is healthy, they have what are called 3-2, meaning there's three compatible to two. Trae Young's a Virgo, Murray's a Virgo, and Capella is a Taurus. So those three are compatible. Mm. And then you have two Sagittarius usually running the forwards, right? Jalen Johnson, or a combination of either DeAndre Hunter or Sadiq Bey being an Aries. So it's a 3-2. But with Trae Young out, there's the way the rotational shifts, it sort of favors their synergy, meaning that it turns more into like majority of a 4-1 lineup, right? With Capella not really playing as heavy minutes. And if, you know, Okongwu gets back to good health. And then the way their rest of the roster is constructed, they have a lot enough energies to actually make it a 4-1. And that one would be like Deontay Murray being his lone energy that he's compatible to by himself, right? Along with four other energies. And that could be any combination from Jalen Johnson, DeAndre Hunter, Sadiq Bey, Bojanovic, Okongwu, any combinations of those. That lineup is a much stronger synergy overall than with Trae Young being into the mix along with DeAndre Hunter. I always felt like this roster is a little bit hard to kind of fix, mainly because you sort of have to play those two guys, right? Because those are, you pay, you know, millions of dollars to pay them to play them, but then it throws off the synergy of the rest of the roster because of the way they're constructed. It's just they're heavy on energies opposite of them, you know. Now if you have more energies that actually is compatible to them, then you have a much, much stronger synergy. But unfortunately, it's just not the way they're built. But with either Trae Young or Murray out, that actually favors their synergy, but a decrease in talent. It's crazy how it kind of works, but it's just the way their positional, you know, synergy is, because they both play a position, you know, to get the guard position, and you know, it's just the way it is. So it's an improvement in synergy, but a decrease in talent.
It's funny, and I'm gonna continue and say that you brought up a good point, is that, you know, for this team, how the Hawks are set up, if you take away Murray and take away Young, they're better astrologically fit, right? They have a better synergy. Granted, they lose on the talent of Murray and Young. That goes without saying. Similar to what happened something earlier this year, I think, I'm not sure if it was before the All-Star break or after the All-Star break, the Lakers were playing the Boston Celtics without LeBron and without an Anthony Davis. And I remember you tweeting and you said, yes, without them too, they're losing talent, but their synergies actually goes up. And guess what happens? The Lakers beat the Celtics pretty handily right that day.
Exactly.
And I think that was that was one moment when people were like, whoa, hold up. This astrology thing is kind of serious. Because if you look at the teams, I mean, we're talking about the Boston Celtics, right? They were like,
exactly.
the Lakers, that synergy, that team, that fire they had, it was just too much for the Celtics. So you're saying that this is similar with what could happen with the Hawks now that Trae Young is out. You know,
exactly,
that,
yeah.
So the synergy could work better.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of what I'm seeing. You know, it could go both ways. They can actually win games without Trae Young, but keep in mind that their talent's kind of lacking a little bit.
Right.
But it still favors their synergy, right? Like, you can still, when you watch the game, you get a sense of more like fluidity in a team playing as a whole. Without one or the other, without Trae Young in this case. So, and that's exactly what happened to the Lakers when, you know, Davis and LeBron James, who are compatible amongst themselves, once they were injured or sitting out or whatever, then that's when they stepped up. The lone energy that was representing, you know, the Pisces was D'Angelo Russell, and he was running the point, and he had all of these fire and air energies to go along with him, which is a favorable synergy. And look what happened. So, and this happens a lot when star players go down. A lot of the opposing teams, they think, oh, this is going to be a piece of cake. But, you know, not realizing, like, low key, they actually have a better synergy. They actually play better. And it goes to show, you know. So yeah, you'll see these type of situations occur a lot in the NBA, too. They're kind of like the sneaky, sneaky good lineups on down low because their talent or one of their star players are out. But then they'll go ahead and beat you by like 20 for some unknown reason. You just kind of can't figure it out. But deep down,
what happened?
You see this energy. It's like that, you know.
It's happened. And look, that's why players and coaches and GMs should be listening to Hoopsology. They should be following the Zodiac GM on Twitter for, you know, this is the new way to analyze the game, right? Why aren't your two star players working? It's because they have bad synergy. And with that is our 14th episode. Zodiac GM, what are your final words on this episode?
Follow us on Twitter X at Hoopstrology and the Zodiac GM.
And follow me, Jesus_Acevedo Jr. And follow the Bayou Cityan. Thank you so much for listening. And don't forget to subscribe. See ya.